This is Outside the Round with Matt Barile, a Rage Rowdy podcast.
Well, my boy, David J., I've been looking forward to getting you on a podcast.
Dude, I've been looking forward to do this podcast.
Because you and I have something in common in that we are what folks call damn Yankees. We're not just Yankees in that we're from the Northeast, particularly New York, but we're damn Yankees because we haven't gone home yet. Like, we have made this place home.
That's right.
So it's good to have you today, dude.
What's up, brother?
And when this podcast drops, it is the release day of your big record, bro, which is fucking fantastic. Tell us a little bit about what went into all of that, because you're 20 years old. Most 20-year-old kids are not making records.
No, I mean, I've been doing, like, I was producing my own records from my bedroom in New York since I was like 15. So I always loved making music, but specifically these songs, we wrote them all over the country. Like, obviously Nashville, we had some. I wrote one of them with my best friend in New York, which was special, in the first studio that I ever recorded my first song.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, so that was a special one. That one's called Lie to Me. And then, obviously, I wrote a bunch of them in Los Angeles with a couple of my good buddies out there. So, all over, all different kinds of stuff.
Dude, shout out to Rotterdam, New York. That's a suburb of Albany,
yeah,
right?
It's great. The motto is, a nice place to live. Not great, not bad. A nice place to live.
That reminds me, like, because I'm from Rockland County. So okay. I grew up down by, like, Tappan Zee Bridge, Palisades Mall.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
So closer to, like, that Jersey border, a little bit closer to, like, the tri-state. And there was a town there called Pearl River. And the motto was, a town of friendly people. And that was just what they went with.
That's such bullshit in New York.
Yeah, dude, it really is. I mean, that town's, like, a 95% Irish Catholic town.
Yeah.
Like they've had, like, the Cardinal come to, like, the Catholic Church, like, comes to their, like, St. Patrick's Day every year. Like,
it's off the boat.
It's like they have like a little strip, like the New York small towns thing. I'm sure over the years you've gotten shit like being from New York. Like, what do you know about country music, man? You're from New York. You're from the city, but you're not from the city.
No,
I'm from the country. You're from upstate, bro.
Listen, I've got my four-wheeler stuck in mud just as many times as these dudes from Georgia had. And I guarantee I'll catch more fish than any of these dudes down here.
That's what I'm saying. You know all about being up there in the Finger Lakes, bro.
Yeah.
In the Adirondacks, in the Catskills, up in the shit.
I mean, you already know.
The music history of upstate New York with even places a little bit like in between us, like Bethel Woods, where Woodstock happened.
Yeah.
It gets hippie up there. Mm-hmm. It gets country up there. You got people with like elk farms. You got all
it's
kinds
crazy.
Of people don't know how much green is in the state of New York.
It's awesome. I love going back there now. It feels just like a Tennessee sun in the summer. You wouldn't know where
you
are.
Yeah,
dude. It's the same.
Yeah, you have your small town. Everybody knows your name. Like, it's not this big city that everybody moves to. There's such a difference in the different sections of New York. And growing up, you got to have Albany it's the capital of the state.
Yep.
And you've also got some good colleges up there too. Mm-hmm. Like, you've got some places to party. And I know we've talked about this.
We go visit when I go home.
Bro, like
shout out Sienna.
Bro, Sienna. And dude, I grew up, it was funny. I remember watching, like, you're a little younger than I am, but like Sienna in the basketball tournament, like the Saints have had some good years, and it's like I went to Ryder. So I went to a school that's in the MAC, the Metro Atlantic Athletic Conference, for those that don't know. Basically, it's all the Catholic schools and then like three schools that aren't religiously affiliated, like Ryder and Quinnipiac and Monmouth. Mm-hmm. But Sienna I would always hate playing Sienna, like, because I worked for the athletic department, and I would always hate it because you guys just had big white dudes that would hit threes.
Yeah.
There was just a streak of Sienna. Sienna would ball out, and then I always heard good things about the party in Sienna. Like,
so
it's a good time.
I never went to college,
your college is music.
When I go back home, I'll go back home for weekends during college, and I'll go with my like little 18-year-old friends that are still in college there, and I pull up. Dude, I swear to God, we went there one time. I was like, I might have to go to college for a year. But if I went to college, though, it would not be good. So I was like, we're going to go here for one night, and then we're never going to come back again.
Yeah, dude. Was college ever an option, or was music?
No.
And because when COVID hits, that's coming up on like literally like 4 years from right now.
I was in 11th grade when COVID hit, and COVID is when I started doing the TikTok and like really going hard on it.
Yeah.
I was before music and like before I had anything going, I wanted to go to like college for sports because I was really good at wrestling, baseball, and football.
That's a New Yorker right there. Yeah, sound out wrestling. Yeah, the Southern folk don't know about high school wrestling. They don't know about the mats, bro.
It's the thing. Like, if you lost, when I was like the wrestler kid. Like, since I was 4 years old, my dad had me in the private lessons. Like, if I lose a tournament, you're fucking walking home. Like, wrestling, New York wrestling.
Bro, it's hardcore.
It's a thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. All these pussies. Now.
You can say whatever you want. You're good. You're good. We got shout out to Cecilia from the PR. We brought the PR team out with us. So you're good. You're good. Like, because where I was, what section were you guys?
Two.
You were section two. So we were section
the red singlets. Yeah.
So we were section one. Uh-huh. Where I was. Yeah. So we had schools like North Rockland and all the Westchester schools like Mamaroneck and Scarsdale and all those guys. And then you had all these pricks from Long Island that would come up too.
Yeah, there'd always be like that one really fucking good kid from Long Island that had no life that would just come and wipe the whole fucking tournament every time.
Yeah, and then like the kids from Blair Academy just over the border
fucking
in Jersey.
Assholes,
and
the Vermont kids sucked too.
Oh, I never had anything with Vermont.
Oh, dude, there's just one school in Vermont and they had like just mountain men, dude. I used to get fucked by them in tournaments.
Dude, it's crazy because there is such like a culture, and I never wrestled, but I worked with the MSG Varsity Network coming up. So like with that, so like I got to help out with like I went to Clarkstown South and we hosted the state battle between like New York and New Jersey, like
that's
the showdown.
A big thing. That's a big one.
We hosted it one time and just the camaraderie that comes with wrestling and the family aspect of like they turn the heat up in those wrestling rooms, bro.
Oh yeah,
they turn the heat up, and I remember guys wearing three or four like layers, dude, drop a pound and they're spitting into a bottle. They're not even dipping, they're just spitting into a bottle.
Bro, I was 10 to 12 years old, and we were doing this tournament in like Syracuse. It was called like Gene Mills or something.
Yeah.
And I was always like, I sucked. I hated cutting wings. I was a little chubby fat kid. I loved to eat. So my dad, I didn't make weight for a tournament. We drove like 3 hours away. He had me running around. I was crying. I was running around a gym at 6 a.m. spitting. I had Minson spitting in a cup while I'm running with three trash bags on, sweatpants, and we had like the heat on like 100. We used to do crazy. My dad used to make me do crazy shit to lose weight. And it was, I would never trade it again because it made me like, tough, like
yeah,
mentally
dude.
Tough. Like, yeah.
It makes getting in a studio and recording songs seem so much easier.
It's so easy. Like obviously, it's very competitive too.
Yes. Because
like I definitely see, I'm really competitive in sports, but like in music too, which is really bad sometimes because it shouldn't be.
Yeah.
But I'm like always like pedal down, like fuck that, like let's go.
Yeah, it's funny you talk about pedal down and like your boys that you have.
Oh yeah,
you have such a fun crew.
We got
of
a good
guys
crew.
Dude,
yeah.
I think of guys like Eddie Everly in the Getaway. I think of Graham. I think of Bo, or as Graham calls him, Spanky, which
Spanky.
I don't know if that's little rascal shit or where that comes from.
Weird, like
some Louisiana shit.
Yeah, I don't know. I didn't get that,
but you've got like a good crew of homies, guys and girls that are in this town. What's it been like coming from Rotterdam, New York to a city like Nashville?
I mean, Eddie like was the first person I met here. I remember I was like I was flying down from New York, and I was staying at some girl's house down here one time, and I was like, I can't do this. I was like, Eddie, I gotta sleep at your house tonight. So that's where we started our bunk beds, and I slept on his bunk bed for 5 months, rent free. We would wake up together, go to bed together, say goodnight, high five each other on the bunk bed, wake up just like fucking ready to go the next day. It was honestly the greatest 5 months ever. We literally did everything. And then I moved in with him. I had my own room at one point. I think at the beginning, I still slept in the bunk bed, even though I had my own bed in there, because we were just so used to just fucking.
Yeah, dude.
We shared a bathroom for those 5 months, which was incredibly.
You said you didn't
weird.
Go to college. That's your college.
That was
experience.
My college.
Eddie was your roommate.
Eddie was my roommate. It was a good time. We bought matching mopeds down the road. It was a whole fucking thing. Yeah,
dude, I can imagine you two goons going around on the mopeds too.
Dude, down like, Music Row, just
peace.
Yeah,
man. Yeah, because you moved here. So how many years ago did you move here now?
So I moved here officially. Like I've been here for 2 years, but when I was 16. Our 16, 17, right when that COVID happened and I didn't have school, I was flying down to sleep on one of my producer's couches before anything with like Eddie's house.
Wow.
And I was sleeping on a fucking love seat with my feet hanging off. I stayed there for 2 months on a love seat, and I didn't have really anything going on. We were just writing songs in this room.
Yeah.
So, but that's when I started coming out. When I was 16, like really like sleeping on couches, waking up an hour early to do school online because New York's an hour ahead. So I was just grinding as hard as I could.
That's the thing. To me, some people get spoiled and don't have to couch surf when they move down here. If you gotta come down. If part of the journey, bro, is that grind of couch surfing. Your feet sticking.
I was a couch slut. I slept on everybody's couch for those fucking 3 years.
Yeah, 100%. Bro. I had buddies. Like my buddy Joey, he's out in John Morgan's band now, but he lived on my couch for a long time, you know? And then I would come down to visit and stay on my buddy Dave's couch. I had like a crew of like Jersey guys that convinced me to move down here.
Yeah.
And I'd stay at their place, and it was just degeneracy at a very high level.
Yeah, I feel that.
Like wild shit.
Yeah.
Yeah, dude, that's fucking like being as young as you are too. Mm. Like the fact that all this shit's happening and you're getting to do what you're doing and have the connections that you have. What's working with fucking Ryan Tedder like? How does that all come to be? Because it's good to have teams around you.
Yeah.
You've got like the Avengers around you, bro. Between Gray Area, between Sony, between Ryan. Like, you have got like all the tools that you need, plus who you are. Like, what was it like meeting him for the first time? And what was, how did that happen? Was that a DM thing?
So, no, we connected through one of our other buddies or something. And he like was following me on TikTok and stuff. And we've always kind of like knew each other for like a couple of years, just following each other. And then I had some things go start happening. And then I was in LA and he's like, yeah, like Ryan wants to meet you and stuff. And I was just like, shit in my pants. I was like, fuck, like I had to play songs for him that I've written. I was like, he's going to think they suck. So I had to come. I remember shaking when I met him.
Yeah.
Hopefully he doesn't see this. Sorry, Ryan. but yeah, I played him songs. We met at one of his studio houses out there. And ever since then, he's been a great mentor, friend, and just a great collaborator.
Because you remember listening to One Republic, like, growing up.
I remember I was listening to Apologize in my cousin's, like, living room when I was, like, 6, 7. I was like, honestly, I didn't know Ryan sang it for a long time because there was a YouTube video of Taylor Lautner doing it on the wall.
Yeah.
And I told Ryan, I was like, bro, I thought Taylor Lautner was this song for, like,
I thought
5 years.
Some Twilight, Shark Boy, Lava Girl shit.
Literally. Cool. Yeah, no, he's been great though. He helps with so much stuff, and just he's a great person to have,
dude. Yeah, I mean, just so many kids. I say kids because like you are still like a kid, bro.
Yeah,
like you're getting to live out like a fucking dream at such a young age. Have you been out on the road at all? Like,
yeah, we were touring actually when I kind of started everything at the same time. So like when I was like 16. 15, I was playing open mic nights, and they always told me I wasn't old enough to play at the bar. So then I have to go like to an open mic night and show them I like didn't suck. So we'd go there, and then I would like eventually, like a couple months later, I was playing like the headline slot from like 7 to 10. Like I was opening up for 50 Cent. I remember one time at
you
a bar.
You opened for 50?
I opened for 50 Cent.
Where was that at?
At a bar in it's called Gaffney's in Saratoga.
Oh,
so I opened
Saratoga. I've had some times up there, bud.
Ain't we all? I opened for 50, and I remember I was like 17, and I was in VIP with him, like girls everywhere. I was like, what am I doing? I was sitting there by myself with him, and he tried to offer me a bottle of like his tequila he was promoting, and my dumb ass was like, oh, I'm good, no thanks. I like definitely should have took it from him, but I was, I had some crazy times over in Saratoga.
Dude, I've been to SPAC a few times for shows.
Oh yeah.
And I tell people that because we go out to a lot of shows on the road this summer. Yeah. Like I used to do the touring thing and be out with guys, but now it's like going to concerts again is so much fun. And the show that my boys back in New York, like I'm sure you've like obviously you still have your boys in New York.
Oh yeah.
I still got my homies. I've got Anthony and Joe and 4 other Matts
with
just
their gold
like
chains
me.
From
oh
New
yeah,
York.
Dude. Yeah, I got Anthony Navarro, Joe Griffin, Maddie Cummings. Like, I got all my guys.
Yeah.
And they're like, bro, you got to come to the Creed show in Saratoga.
That's fucking
I'm like,
nuts.
I might have to figure out a way to get up to SPAC to see Creed up there because the live music, like the venues that are in New York and the college towns that are in the state of New York. It's a market I didn't get to enjoy a lot because I moved down here at 23 and I did most of my radio stuff in Jersey. So like I didn't get to experience
you didn't
a
get
ton.
The fucking
no, I didn't
shit.
I didn't get to go to Cortica. Mm-hmm. I didn't get to go to Buffalo. Like I didn't get to go party in Plattsburgh and take that spontaneous trip to Montreal.
Oswego or something.
Oh bro, my stepbrother went to Oswego and And it's, and I almost went into the SUNY system, but like
I kind of do. I'm in the SUNY system.
You basically are.
I hit Siena, Albany, we go.
Yeah, dude, that's to me. Like, I think a college tour would crush. If there's enough clubs up there.
I
want to
do a college tour so bad, but I think it would not be good. But we would do a college tour.
I think you'd learn a lot of things about yourself, and you'd really get. Have you done headlining stuff? Full headlining stuff yet, or has it been a lot
my
of
first
like
tour's
opening?
In April?
Your first tour's
headline,
in,
yeah.
So it's happening.
It's happening.
Where are you going? I'm about to pull up the dates right now. I'm about to Google that.
We're
shit.
We're going to.
This is that you're not supposed to know. That's what you have a team
Toronto,
for.
Toronto, New York, Philadelphia, Pittsburgh.
Oh, you're doing okay.
We're doing a little northeast.
Oh, website looks good, bro. Thanks. I'm on the website right now. Looks good. Good job on the website over there, team. Oh, you're going, okay, I love this. You're doing, the Mercury Lounge?
Mm-hmm.
Bro,
New York City.
I remember when Luke Combs played the fucking Mercury
really?
Lounge, bro. Yeah, that room, that's such a cool room, and you got to go.
Yeah.
I don't know how often.
I played there for a couple of times.
Yeah, dude,
up.
you got to go up the street a little bit, go to Cat's Deli, get you a $30 pastrami sandwich.
100%.
It's so bad how expensive this shit is now. Dude, Syracuse, home like a hometown kind of, Lost Horizon, Toronto, Wayne, D.C., Columbus, you're going all over the place.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, you're doing the intersection, bro. I love that.
Yeah, that place is sick.
That place is dope.
It's so sick.
I did the stash, the smaller room in there with Muscadine before COVID.
Yeah.
Dude, this is such a cool tour for you to go on, like to kick it off, because you start out in your home neck of the woods.
Mm-hmm.
Like
yeah.
Where your base is, where the homies and the family can
come
out.
Yeah, it's
going to
be a fun one.
It's the best way to do it, bro.
Yeah, 100%.
That's fucking exciting, man. I didn't know you had all the tour stuff coming. That's fucking sick. Some cool fucking towns. Wayne, Columbus, Ohio. Have you been to Columbus yet?
Yeah.
You have been to Columbus?
Oh, yeah, I love Columbus.
So you've probably been, how many different college towns have you been doing partied at? Because you
a lot. We've played like the library in Mississippi.
Oh, the library in Oxford?
Dude, yeah.
The library in Oxford.
We've had some good times.
The library's wild.
Yeah, it was nuts.
Oxford's nuts.
Oxford,
what do you
done.
Think? You've probably seen it too. Like, I feel like there's a huge difference between like, northern college towns and southern college towns.
It's definitely a thing. You could tell where you are.
Yeah.
Like upstate, when we go to like Siena, it's not like we're in Oxford, Mississippi.
Or Tuscaloosa.
Like, yeah. Way more chances somebody's going to get in a fight in the northern college.
Really?
Than the southern.
I see that a lot because I've been through like Statesboro, through Starkville, through Tuscaloosa, all over Alabama, Georgia, Mississippi, even like Baton Rouge, like all those places.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, there's just, and the way the kids dress, like,
yeah.
If we're going to like a college sporting event, we're not dressing up like we're going to church, you know?
No,
like there's a whole different kind of like culture. Like the frat parties are different.
Like the parties down south, they're gonna have like their belt buckles, their boots, like the little hat. New York, you're gonna get Tim's and ripped jeans.
Oh, dude, yeah,
that's
me.
What you're gonna
I almost wore my Tim's today.
We
I was
should've.
So Fuck. Close. I should have messaged you to wear the Tim's. But dude, so talking about this record now. Mm-hmm. Commitment Issues, I couldn't think of a better title for you. Because that's like, when I think of you, like, there's like guys that are like hopeless, like romantics. Mm. You're a damn warrior out there, bro. Like,
I'm just fighting for my life.
Yeah, like, you're not even like a slider. You're a damn, you're in the trenches. Like, you're the guy. I know we had some fun with you at the CMA at the awards.
I was sweating so bad for that. I was so scared.
Dude, when I saw Graham and those guys coming up asking questions, I was like, oh, poor boy's about to get it. But talk about like where the idea for the title of the record kind of came from. For those that don't know,
I'm not very like a very committed person to things. I have really bad like. We'll start low, like really bad, like ADHD. You always want to do a different things. Like you don't want to say, oh, I don't want to go. I don't know what to wear ever. And then obviously I've had a couple of like my ex-girlfriends have said like, oh, why can't you have so bad commitment issues? Like we got to like, it was either like dump me or date me. And I was like, I don't know.
Yeah, dude. I mean, but you're also a 20-year-old kid. I didn't know what the fuck I was doing at 20.
See,
I didn't even get, I got sober when I was 21. So 20-year-old me was... Wild, bro. Yeah. I was up and down the Jersey Shore. I was getting out.
Dude, don't start me on the Jersey Shore.
You would go down
bro,
there.
Bro, Wildwood was my shit.
How long of a trip is it for you from Rotterdam to Wildwood?
4 hours. We went there every summer.
Because I was going to say, like,
Atlantic City, Brigantine, yeah. Bro, I lived there in the summer.
Yeah, my grandparents live in Waretown now, but like, and I have family that like lived in Jackson near Six Flags.
Oh, yeah.
Howell near like Point Pleasant. Dude, like, I used to go to Jenks all the time. Yep. I used to go to Martell's. Used to party a little bit further up in Asbury, go to Hoboken, which obviously isn't the shore, but we used to party in Hoboken all the time, dude. Some wild shit. Where's some of your favorite like spots to like like where's the what's partying as a 20-year-old in Nashville with
dude,
a crew like?
I'm not gonna lie, I don't drink. I don't like I never went to college or like so I didn't never got into like going to parties or like high school. I was always I know it seems like now like oh I seems like I haven't like done anything or I'm out partying all the time, but like people always think that. I'm like, I don't drink, I don't go to bars, like I sit home and like I like work really hard when like I don't post it and like people see, but like since I was 15 I was always trying whatever I could. I was like, I'm not gonna party, go out with my friends in high school, like I'm gonna get to a point where I have enough like money, career, like success going on, and then I'll party. I was like, I'm just gonna wait. I know if I keep my head down, like I'm gonna be ahead of these people that are my age, and that's hopefully what I think helped me get to where I am at this age. So that's kind of, I never went to parties, anything. I still don't drink. So hanging strong.
Yeah, dude. I give you a lot of credit for that, especially because you're kind of in an interesting position to where like you're a few different genres of music. Yeah. Obviously you're a country artist. Mm-hmm. You're on a country label. Yeah. You're doing the country thing, but there's elements of like pop in there where it can cross over in a bunch of different directions. Mm-hmm. And then for you, you're an internet guy. Like you came up in this TikTok generation to where you're not just entertaining people with your music. You're entertaining people by being David J, by being you. Mm-hmm. Like, what's that kind of balance like?
I mean, obviously I said like during COVID is when I kind of got some things going and I couldn't meet anybody in person because I couldn't do shows. So I had to get really good at that. I'm like, this is the time where you don't have to really do anything crazy and you can blow up for some reason. So I sat in my Jeep and just made videos in my little driveway in New York. I remember one time I backed into my dad's truck. I was looking for good lighting and I fucking smashed his whole front end. He was in the car. It was a whole fucking thing. But yeah, I remember just doing like, I always was always big on like, just like being myself. Like people are either going to like me or they're going to fucking hate me. That's kind of where I live my life.
Yeah.
And I was just like, I'm just gonna try to make people happy, however I can like make somebody's day online or like do anything. Everybody always like, if anybody ever DMs me, like, oh, blah, blah, blah's birthday, send a video. Like, I always do that shit just because like, I never want to be somebody. Cause I remember looking up to like some of my people when I was like in New York and I'm like, these guys don't ever react with their fans. And I was like, I'm never gonna not do that. So like, I do whatever I can just like make somebody's day or just talk to people that like support me.
Yeah, so the comments, and I actually watched some of your Instagram Live last night.
Oh, yeah.
I watched a little bit of that. Yeah, and I don't get on live there too often, but who was that you had in there, you had in that video with you?
That's my guitar player, Sean Dunbar. Like, my built-in, funny story about him. When I was in New York, he used to be, like, a fan when I was first coming up.
Oh, really?
So he DM'd me way back then, like, love your stuff, bro. He was in Boston, big Boston guy, so we get along great. And, and I was like, dude, this kid's chill as fuck. And so we DM'd, and we used to write over FaceTime. And I put a song out way back that was not a good song, but originally we met through DM. We wrote a song together way back, and it's crazy to see us now. We're going on our first tour together and, like, best friends living in Nashville. So it was kind of like a good, like, circle moment for us.
That's cool you go up from that dynamic. That reminds me of, like, back in the day. Mm-hmm. A lot of people don't know this. Like people talk about, like, the Luke Bryan Cole Swindell thing.
Yeah.
They met was Cole was helping Luke load out at shows when he was a student at Georgia Southern.
Oh, yeah.
And then was like, hey, come sell merch. And now fast forward all these years later. So it's cool to find like homies along the way.
Yeah, that's what I try to do. I'd rather take, you can go get anybody that any musician caliber in Nashville you want. But like, if I'm not having a good time with the people I'm with, I don't care how good they are. Like, I would rather much do stuff with my friends.
Yeah.
And just, it's way more, it's such a more better experience.
The hang is just as important.
It's so much more
as
important.
The talent. You really need the hang, especially when you're going out in a van with the boys.
Exactly.
Because I've done that. Like, I did that for a long time where I was driving bands around in a van, being the baby, being the paid babysitter, which is known as a tour manager, which you'll have. And you have to, it's your family, you know? It's like being on the wrestling team in high school and getting on the bus.
On the bus every morning, 6 a.m.
Yeah, dude. It's just like that. That's that to me is why I think so many guys and girls that come up and have played sports do so well with touring.
They really do.
And love it so much because it feels like game day. Mm-hmm. Show day's game day, bro.
It's game day, 100%. I remember, like, football practice, it's so weird. I remember the feeling going to, like, taking the bus, like, away games for football. Yeah. It feels just like I'm going to a show. The ride there, like, headphones, you do the same routine. You just don't hit people and try to fuck them up, and you just go sing. It's like two different things, but they feel the same to me.
What high school did you go to?
It's called Shelmont.
What was y'all's mascot?
It was a saber.
A saber. Okay, kind of like the Buffalo saber, like the saber-toothed tiger kind of thing. What colors did they have you guys rocking?
Green and white.
Green and white?
Oh, yeah.
That's cool. See, we had brown and yellow.
Ooh.
We were like Wyoming.
Damn,
it's like brown and gold, and we were the Vikings.
That's pretty badass.
It was cool to be like the Vikings and stuff. Where did you play on the football field?
I was quarterback.
You were a quarterback?
Yeah. My uncle was in the NFL.
Oh, really?
So since I was little, he was always like
Who's your uncle?
He wasn't like Tom Brady, but his name was Tom Chaccio. He played in the Cardinals.
Oh, sick!
So growing up, he always would help me like throw and like just taught me like everything I could. So
He's like Tommy DeVito before Tommy DeVito.
Yeah, exactly.
Chaccio, he was ahead of his time.
Yeah, he played the Holy Cross.
He walked so that DeVito could run.
Yeah.
You know, we love seeing some Italian-American
100%.
Sports in there. And I'm guessing you have a lot of Italian in your blood?
Oh, yeah.
Can't tell
with the hands.
Are you
100%?
Yeah, dude,
swearing.
I feel the same. Are you 100% or are you like
no,
a
I think
mix
I'm
of
like
stuff?
50 or 75%. But yeah, we do Sunday dinner, so I'm pretty fucking Italian.
Do you call it sauce or gravy?
Sauce.
I call it sauce as well.
Gravy?
People call it gravy. Mm. Like my buddy Anthony, really? The Navarros, they call it gravy.
The Navarros are really Italian.
Oh, dude. Yeah, his dad was NYPD cop.
Oh,
like, I remember at his confirmation, at his confirmation party, there were all these dudes in suits and just coming up and handing his dad envelopes. And I was like, oh, Christ, here we go.
Oh, wow.
I was like, here we go. Like, because it was seeing the culture up there of that family style, because it is very hustle and bustle.
Yeah.
But the element, like, you seem like a big family guy. I know you're, the way you're talking about, like, your experiences with your dad in particular, tell me that you guys are very close.
Oh, dude, my dad, right now he's at my house, like, they're mapping the tour out with my manager because my dad comes with us and drives.
Oh, your dad comes on the road.
Oh, my dad is him, bro, on the road. But growing up, though, doing shows, it wasn't cool to, like, have your dad with you, so we'd go to shows and girls would be like, who's that? So we nicknamed my dad TMD, tour manager Dave, and we would never say dad, so it looked like I wasn't like 12 years old talking to these girls. So it was always TMD, and he was always a dog on the road. It was like so fucking fun.
That to me just that is the most like Italian.
We bought him a TMD shirt.
Dude, that's the way. I gotta get out to a show now. I gotta meet TMD.
Yeah, he's a legend. Everybody knows TMD.
What did he do for work?
So he owns like a carpet store in like flooring in New York. So, yeah, so he kind of just calls whatever.
Nice. That's cool, dude.
Yeah, that's a good time.
Oh, your parents like coming down here?
Yeah, oh yeah. Mm-hmm. My mom, brother, they all love
it. My family comes down here all the time too. They just they love it. Like, and I think that's that made the move down here a little bit easier.
Oh, so much easier. That's why I still go to New York a lot, cuz they're all up there, and I have to rebalance sometimes, cuz like living down here you'll get stuck in songwritery thing with songs, but then I go home and listen. Like, my friends are listening to like songs that were cool for us down here. Maybe a year later, they get it later.
Yeah.
So it's always good to go back. That's why I kind of test how I write songs and stuff. Like, I see what they're listening to and like the market I want. And I'm like, it's all simple shit. They're not too heady like some of these Nashville songs are. Like, they don't listen to any of those. I got to be just simple.
We get put in a bubble here.
Yes.
We get put, 100%. We get put in such a bubble here. And it's tough, like you said, like when you go home and you get that clarity.
Mm-hmm. You're like, oh, this is simple shit. We can do this.
Yeah, dude. Yeah. And it's like what people, it's like you can be as big as you want in town, but if you're not selling tickets, you're not getting streams, you don't have a base in other parts outside of Nashville. Then nobody you could be cares. As Midtown yeah. fucking famous as you want, mm-hmm. but if you're not relating to folks outside of the 615,
oh, yeah.
you're not doing it right.
No.
You're not going to have a career.
Never.
You play as many rounds, and trust me, we're mm-hmm. like the writer's round guys.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
That's what we do. Yeah. We do a lot of events in town. But if you really want to grow, like having that relatability
yeah.
to the common listener.
Yeah, you almost can't think about people here when you're posting or writing songs. Like, I know you're going to go to Live Oak, and if you go play this song, yeah. it's going to be like they've heard it 1,000 times. But to that college girl, that 20-year-old kid in New York, they don't hear it as much yeah. as we do here. So it's like a different... It's a different thing to see. And it really has helped me writing songs. Because, like,
yeah.
I know when I get here to stay here for too long of a time in sessions, like... You're trying to flip these crazy things, make fucking this work with that. All you guys, I go to New York and they're like, oh, this song's cool. And you're like, that song still? And I'm like, all right, fuck, we'll just do that.
Yeah.
It's so easy.
Yeah. What is, what advice would you have for someone that's trying to figure out this TikTok thing? Because your generation, we have like TikTok on, like we have a Raise Rowdy account. Yeah. I have an Outside the Round account. Mm. I don't know what. And I'm almost 30, yeah. so I'm like a generation. I'm like kind of almost a generation at, like yeah. behind you or ahead of you. So it's like I remember like Vine and like different things, but the TikTok thing just went whoosh right yeah. over my head. Mm-hmm. Like what is that? What is it like?
I can't.
What do you do?
Be like, yo, this is how I do it. Honestly, I would say it's all luck. Like it really is. Like some songs that blow up on TikTok, you're like, how? But it's just like it's all algorithm and. Something about your video that you might not see people all over the world like that's fucking different and stuff. But like, honestly, I would say post as much as you can, make good quality content. Don't just like post to post, throw shit up. Like, make sure you're putting something that people think is at least value to them, and don't always be like want. Like, go pre-save this every day and like blah blah blah. Like, I'd say show who you are. Like, connect with people, make them think like you're their friend. Because at the end of the day, nobody. In the industry is gonna give a fuck if your fans aren't the ones pushing you and like driving your stuff. So make stuff for them, not for people that work in the music industry, I'd say.
Yeah, like
that'll follow when they see the people.
Yeah, if you can spark the match, mm-hmm. they can pour the gas exactly. onto the fire, but sparking the match mm-hmm. has to be the thing that's unique to you. If you had any moments where you're like, man, I hate doing this, or has it just become such a part of your process?
Every
your
other
career?
Day. You're like, oh, you're like, you think this is... This is the worst thing about TikTok is you get a song, you're like, this is it. I fucking love this song. You could put all your heart in it. You're like, this is the one. If I post it and it doesn't do as good as I want, I'm like, maybe, which is really kind of fucked up for people's mental health, I feel like.
Yeah.
If they post a song that they think's great, it's going to be the one, and it doesn't pop off how they think, like, it'll definitely, like, kind of depress you a little bit, because, like, I've had those times where I'm like, fuck, like, this was going to be the one. Like, what do I do now? But... It's just a dumb app. It can go away tomorrow. Make good music. People will find it. Don't give a fuck what people on TikTok say or if you can't get views, because there could be the greatest artist with 100 followers out there, and it guarantees better than somebody with 1 million. So, like, I wouldn't fucking worry about that shit.
That's good. Those are good words right there. You are wise beyond your years, bro. And the latest single that you put out, I know we're talking about the album that came out today. The latest single that you put out, bro, came out on Valentine's Day.
Oh yeah,
you got steamy, bro.
It did.
You got fucking steamy. Better off.
Better off.
Better off. Who'd you write that one with?
My boy Seth Alley and Pete Edwards.
Because that one, that was that when you put out like a song like that. Because that's the direct message.
Yeah, and you're like. I obviously love to do country and like I want to be a country artist, but like I grew up I started to learn how to like sing listening to like Chris Brown, Justin Bieber, and all that stuff.
It reminded me of like Neo.
So
like
we were writing a pitch that day. Like, it wasn't supposed to be for me, and I posted on TikTok because I thought it was cool and I was gonna try to just get it pitched to somebody, and it fucking got like 13,000 UGCs in 2 weeks, and I was like, fuck, this is gonna fuck some shit up. So I'm like, you know what, let's just put it out. So I put it out, and I think it's found its people. But like, I just want to do what I want. Like, if I like something and it does well, people like it, I don't see any problem why somebody shouldn't do it if they're not a country, if they're a country artist. I think if something goes and people like it, who gives a fuck?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, who cares?
Yeah.
Like, they're going to listen to it. They're not going to say, oh, if Luke Bryan does a pop song, I'm not going to listen to it. But if it's a really good song, you're like, who cares?
Yeah.
Like, you like it either way. Like, it's not a big deal.
Yeah. And
I think people get wrapped in that too much.
Yeah, there's so many layers to the onion mm-hmm. of each artist.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, and I think right now is the absolute best time to be doing that.
Oh, because, dude, 100%. Bro,
the fact that Morgan Wallen and Luke Combs are on Z100
is nuts.
The fact that they are on like pop stations, that just tells you. And the Beyonce crossover stuff and the this and the that.
Yeah.
If there's a time for a guy like yourself to be coming up, like folks that are bending genres and just putting out music. Mm-hmm. It doesn't have to be country. It doesn't have to be pop. It doesn't have to be rock, rap, hip hop, gospel, whatever the fuck.
Nope.
As long as it's music and it's by David J, it's your music.
It's
whatever the fuck you want it to be. And your fans, if they're ride or dies, they're gonna resonate with it.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying, dude. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. So this record being out, when did the process for it kind of start? Because I know I've seen some artists take like 2 years to put out a record, where they start it in the beginning. Like,
yeah, is this one I can't a long wait one? Long. No, I have my eight. Like I said, I have crippling like ADHD.
Real quick ADHD thing. What medicine were you on growing up?
I didn't take it.
You didn't take it?
Oh no, I just fucking raw dogged that shit.
You just raw dogged. See, I was on Concerta growing up. No, I was a Concerta 54 milligram kid, 12 hour slow release.
Oh wow,
I was on that shit.
I
was on that shit for a long time.
Yeah, no, I just move so fast with things. Like, something doesn't work, bang, reroute to something else. But like, we started the record. Maybe I'd say I wrote the first song. The first song I wrote actually was after we broke up for it. It was my first time in LA writing. And
great song, by the way.
Thank you.
Big fucking.
It's doing well.
That's going to be one that's going to stand. That's a David J staple for eternity.
Mm-hmm. And then it was actually a lot of these songs are when me and my ex-girlfriend broke up. So a lot of these songs are still from like past stuff from like years, 2 years ago. So I wrote a lot about that, which helped with those songs a lot.
Yeah.
I would say I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for my ex-girlfriend, because I got my record deal off those songs. And
shout out to the ex.
Shout out, Shorty.
So what's your status right now? You a single dude out in these streets or what?
Because
you made it through Valentine's Day. Cuffing season just happened. And also I got to ask you about like DM stuff. And I know it's like part of like your character, part of who you are. I'm in the best relationship in my life.
Wow.
It's a woman that's older than me.
Dude, let's go. Daughter. Cougars for life, baby.
She's got a few years on me. And whatever. But we met through Instagram DMs.
Did you slide?
So I put up a story. I'd recently broken up with an ex. And I put up a post like and used my buddy Trey's song Single Again and put that up. So that was kind of it was a degenerate.
Wow,
it pissed off the ex. It was wild. And then like within a couple weeks, not saying that Aaron, my current girlfriend, saw that, but I just put up like a funny story and she did was laugh at it. But I didn't know she existed before.
Mm-hmm.
Is her reacting with a laugh a DM slide? Is that initiating conversation or is that just a reaction? Because this has been barbershop conversation. Uh-huh. Shout out to Elusive Studio, my barbershop that we go to. All the girls in the studio are like, we're just reacting to it. That doesn't count as a slide. And all the dudes like, bro, she's sliding.
If there is any message where her name pops up in the top of your DM and it says she did something first, that is a slide.
Okay,
folks? That is a class one slide. If anything happens, I don't care if she's got a boyfriend, married, she's first, she slid. It could be a class B slide if it was a reaction.
Yeah, because like, it was a laugh and it wasn't like
typing
a hard
in
eyes.
A message, that's a class A slide.
That's a class A slide. Mm-hmm. I love how we have different classes,
There's different classes. Class C slide is her just liking a story. You know how you can see who likes your story?
Oh, just a little heart
That's
thing.
A class C.
Okay.
Class B, a reaction because it still goes to you. Class A is some typing and a send.
So what's the move of getting into the DMs? Are you a class A? Just go for it, battering ram?
It depends on the situation.
Like if you know the girl.
You need to weigh your odds. If it's a risky one, you might do a class B.
What constitutes a risky? That you know them or that you don't know them or that blue
you know
check,
them, you might, they might know you or something. Like you gotta proceed with a class B, class C slide. Class A, you're just like, fuck it, balls to the wall, I'm gonna go for it. And there's been like, there's different things. It's a hard thing.
It's different factors. It's different. And you think it's different for girls sliding in than it is guys sliding in?
Yes. 100%. Girl slides in, it's like, what's up? Are we gonna get married? Or like, yeah. No. It's like, but they mean more. I will say, girls mean more with any class of a slide.
Yeah.
I think any girl like this is really fucked up. We better get a lot of views on this. But I'm saying, if a girl, if she's reacting like you said, like hits you with the lap.
Yeah.
I think she's interested. But I'm also the guy that I go to dinner and the waitress asks what we want to eat. I'm like, she's hitting on me for sure.
Oh, you're that guy. I'm that guy.
I'm that guy in the friend group.
I have buddies back home that are like that.
Like, dude, she wants me.
Or like we're on the road and the girl brings in like the food that I ordered and the guitar player's like, man, she just loves me. And I'm like, no, she just brought us the food that I put in.
Yeah, I will say I have done that a couple times. I'm that guy.
Are you have you ever left the phone number for a server on the on the thing? Has it ever worked?
So you do it as the tip usually, but be careful because it could max your credit card out. You need to make sure.
Has that happened?
No, but it could. I thought about it last night. So we were at Outback. Okay, funny story. We were at Outback last night.
Okay,
never been to Outback in my life.
Outback's pretty dope. It's pretty good.
It was all right.
It's a solid chain. It's a solid chain.
It's great.
It ain't Chili's, but it's close.
It ain't Chili's. So we were at Outback. And we were sitting down and stuff, and I could see there was like 7 people through the kitchen just all staring, like laughing. I was like, I think they like knew who we were or something. So they came up to us, like our waitress was like, hey, they played it off really chill though. They were like, what do you guys do for, like, the questions your waitress doesn't ask, like on a normal basis.
Yeah.
So she, me and Sean were at dinner, and she goes, what do you guys do? And I'm like, oh, we just like, she's like, we all think you're a DJ. And I was like, okay. So I was like, not a DJ. I think I made a joke like a rapper or something. She's like, oh, okay, walks away. 2 minutes later, she comes back. She goes, like, are you David J? And I was like, yeah. She's like, oh, our manager, like, loves you and stuff. I was like, oh, like, tell her to come over. We hung out with her. She was great, great lady. Actually, we got fucking 12 free loaves of bread.
Bro, the Outback bread, that's the best part of the Outback experience.
12 loaves of Outback bread.
Yeah.
I'll give you a slice.
Dude, yes.
Yeah, it was a good time. That was my Outback story.
That's awesome. Is it weird to have people like recognizing you like outside of the hometown and stuff?
Yeah, because I'm never like the person like, you know some people, you'll go out with them, like they want people to like.
You're a quiet dude, because I've been out with you before. Yeah. And, like, I've seen you at events and out at writers' nights and things like that. And you're very chill.
I'm like, I was shy. Like, I never grew up, like, I was always like quiet and stuff. I wasn't loud. I don't like people really knowing. I hate talking about myself to people too. Like, you know, some people here, they can do it all fucking day.
That's what they do.
That's their thing.
That's their bit.
But like, I don't, because I was growing up with sports. I really always put it back to sports. Like, growing up, my dad was like, never be cocky in sports or anything. Just show it all. Always show it in what you do. And I carry that with me to this day. Like, I'm never going to go brag to people about, I got this, I wrote this, I do this, how many followers, all this shit. Like,
yeah.
I never want to be that person, because I know some people, obviously in Nashville, you know how it gets. Yeah. And people
and
never
there's people
like
that
people.
In industries all over the place.
Over
not
the
just
place.
Music.
Not
but,
music.
But there's
anything.
Different. But there's different. Yeah. There's a lot of egos in this town.
Yeah. And I just like, you don't have to do that. Like, nobody cares to begin with. Like, just be chill, be nice to everybody, and a lot more good things will happen, I feel like.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Good things come to good people.
Exactly.
And there's something about being, walking with the big stick, you know, like having that, like being that safety that is quiet during pregame and stuff, but then cracks down.
They'll absolutely fuck you up on a fucking blitz.
Yeah, putting hats on the ball, you know, like all of that shit. You got any siblings?
A little brother.
You got a little brother? Mm-hmm. What's he like?
He's a little shithead, but he's in that 16, like, I'm too cool for everybody phase.
So he's exactly where you were a
so
couple
like
years
me.
Ago.
He's so like me.
Does he do content and stuff as well, or?
Sometimes we'll make TikToks. He likes it, but he's more of the sports. Hopefully he can carry on the flag of sports.
Okay, what does he play?
He wrestles, football, everything I did. He's kind of like just a mini or more like, fuck you version of
what's
me.
What's his name?
Chase. Oh, yeah.
Oh, he's got a name for a guy that's
got his,
a dog.
He got his first girlfriend and stuff. Like,
oh, how's that going? Did you give him any advice on that? Like,
I honestly told him to dump her because
really,
I love I loved my little brother being like, oh, he was always like, yo, let's go get girls. Like when you come home, I was like, I'll always take him to like the mall or something.
Oh, dude, there's something about
the
mall
when you're 16 is it's a fucking, I don't know what it is. It's like blind dating for kids. They just will find anything at the mall.
Some in that food court. Dude, you're up on the third yes. floor. You look down. You see somebody on the second outside.
You fucking take the elevator to find them.
She just walked out of Abercrombie or Hollister. Yes. You got to get down there. Yeah. But now she's over there by Wetzel's Pretzels.
Dude, it's a whole thing. But yeah, he's like in his first love phase. So he's like, you know how you sit in your room and you just talk FaceTime all night, all day? So I was like, dude, I need my little bro back. Like, come on, dog. What are you doing? I need my guy.
Yeah. Do you game a lot? Are you a video game guy?
We play Fortnite every night.
Oh, you're on.
That's how we stay connected all over. Because every night, 10 o'clock, we have a group chat. We all play Fortnite every night together.
So funny enough, I just downloaded Fortnite last night.
Dude, please play with us.
I just downloaded, and I got added to a group chat from some of my buddies that are in town. It's funny because Nikki T does it too, and Nikki's in his 40s, so there's a bit of like a difference, but he's like, dude, I suck at this. I'm not very good, but it's just cool to hang with the boys.
Dude, it's an excitement. I look forward to it all day long.
Better than going out to the bars. Dude, you get to hang with the people that you want
to
hang out with.
Play games and shoot people in the game. It's fucking incredible every night.
Nikki said he sets up as like the decoy, and then like our buddies like Mitch Wallace is really good, Dobro Chris is really good, Matt McKinney, Alex Maxwell, Trey
That's
Bonner,
right
like
there.
All those guys. I think I'm gonna embark on my Fortnite journey.
Dude,
I think I'm gonna be it's gonna be the coolest Friday night ever. I'm gonna sit in my room, I'm gonna have a Zin, I'm gonna make a little coffee, and I'm gonna play some fucking Fortnite on a Friday night in Nashville.
I cannot wait to play with us tonight. Join a party.
I'd be down.
Every night. It's a time.
I'd be down, bro.
It's a time.
I'd be down. Dude, so you're a big sports guy.
Yeah.
Do you identify more with the Buffalo teams or the New York teams?
No.
Because you're Buffalo. In the spot where it could be, where you could be Sabres,
There's
Bills.
A lot of Buffalo, a lot of Bills, a lot of Sabres where I live. But I was kind of more like, I was Yankees.
Fuck yeah.
Brother was Jets. I didn't really care for the Giants. They were never great.
Oh, yeah, you're so young, you don't remember the Super Bowls. That makes me feel old.
I was laughing like the Eli ones.
Yeah, that's like, because that's when, see, for me, that was when I was in high school. So that was middle like school and high school. And my best buddy growing up, his name was Colin Mira. Nice Italian fella, but Irish as fuck. Colin Mira. And his whole family was Boston fans. So we would butt heads all the time.
I had a Boston
especially back in the day, like... Yeah. Because you got to think, I was born 95, so like I was in like the third or fourth grade when the Red Sox finally won. But he had that whole era of like the Patriots and all that. But I remember I remember watching the Super Bowl with him. We would be the house that everybody would have the family parties at. Like where all the families
that
come
one
over.
House, everybody's got it.
We had a few that we rotated through, but my house was usually the house. My parents loved hosting.
Oh, dude, yeah.
So I remember watching that Super Bowl, watching those Giants Patriots Super Bowls with Colin and his dad, and that it just being a fucking time, dude.
Really,
the New York Boston rivalries were just so much.
What
fun.
A time! We got to go to New York together.
We do.
We should hit up Saratoga one night,
dude. SPAC would be wild. Or if you do, if I just wish the one thing we were talking about, the differences in college towns. I wish that live music was more present in the northern colleges.
I really do.
Could you imagine?
They're
like,
not at all.
Like the bars that are in Tuscaloosa, that are in Auburn, that are in even places like Knoxville and Lexington. Like, imagine if Cortland had that.
It'd be
imagine
insane.
If Plattsburgh or Oswego or Stoneonta had that. You know,
Stoneonta,
bro, Stoneonta. Imagine if you had that. You had the mixture of like the towny shit, but with music. It doesn't
It'd
have
be
to be
insane.
Country.
No, anything,
whatever. Yeah. Just having cover bands. Because could you imagine doing a SUNY tour? Like
It'd
a
be
straight
insane.
Up. Can you imagine if there was a bar in all those towns? Yeah. Like, could you imagine playing a show, Cortica Weekend up there?
It'd
like
be nuts.
It'd be so fucking cool. And I just, that's something that I so much wish that we had in the Northeast. Because
we can bring it. It's not too late. I think there will be a time. Somebody's got to start it, though.
Yeah.
Somebody needs to start it.
We need some guy. Yeah. We need some guy that needs to wash his money. Some fuck you businessman in New York needs to wash his money. Just buy these old bars and just put any kind of stage.
Anything.
Any kind of stage.
Anything will take.
And we will be there. We will go and we will bring the party to New York. Do you miss the food from back home? What's your mom?
Yeah, dude.
What's your last name?
Tomasic.
So what are the Tomasic family Sunday dinner? What are the staples there?
Or
does it rotate?
We'll rotate. We'll hit a chicken parm. So me and my dad are big Chicken Parm guys.
Me too.
Okay.
Me too, bro. Me too.
There's a couple good ones down here. Obviously, nothing touches New York.
No.
Like, when I go back, I usually gain 10 pounds. I go for a week. It's bullshit. Bro. I don't know how. Mom's cooking every night. We'll hit all the Italian joints. Chicken Parm, lasagna. You know, you got the fucking pasta sauce.
My penne vodka is penne what my mom does.
Yes.
My mom makes,
vodka sauce.
My mom makes it with Tito's.
Wow,
Jesus,
that's
crazy. Tito's in the penne vodka, bro.
Okay.
Like, she gave me the recipe for it, and I'm like, oh, God, I was eating this once a week?
Yeah.
Like, fuck. I like,
now,
no wonder.
Like, oh, I can't breathe.
Yeah, you just stuffed. Or you're getting the bagels in the morning. Bagels. You're getting the sandwiches. I remember going to, we had, like, where I grew up was like a New York City suburb, which I know all the suburbs in New York are kind of similar, even upstate, to where you have a ton of pizza joints. You have a ton
You can get pizza anytime.
At any time, yeah. You can walk into a place at fucking 2-3 o'clock in the morning and get pizza, and it's great.
Yep.
But I remember like doing, like, it would be like a bagel for breakfast, and there would be like a fat chicken cutlet sandwich with the Fretz Mozz on there, bro, or an Italian combo with give me the oil, the vinegar, all the good shit. Or you get go to the pizza place and you'd get the two slices with the soda, and it'd be like $5. And then you go home and it's whatever mom made for dinner, and it's just,
and you're just like, wow, just I did this for 20 years.
Carbs and carbs and carbs and carbs. I lost 15 pounds when I moved here, bro. I was like, I'm definitely going to gain weight with all the fast food because all these towns down here are fast food alley.
Yeah, that's all it is.
And it's just grease and all that. But that helped me lose weight. It's fucking nuts, dude. Yeah. What do you miss most about home?
I obviously, like, all my family's there. I miss them. But, like, you know, but I will say, though, when you're living in New York, you're like, dude, this place, like, I got to get the fuck out of here.
Yeah.
But now I wish I could just live in New York and just do music because, like, obviously the people down here, they're interesting. You'll meet your people, like, but nothing's ever gonna feel just like 2 a.m. driving around with your boys in high school playing Drake type beats, fucking freestyle and roasting the shit out of each other.
Yeah.
I feel like people are more soft down here. You have to be very, like, soft spoken, like, you can't be too much of a dick. But, like, in New York, like, we don't talk about music. It's just like all the boys growing up will go fuck around in the woods.
Yeah.
Four wheeler fish, like, it's just all, it's a thing. You know what I'm saying? I don't know how to explain it, but like, it's a thing.
Yeah, we're going to be doing an event at some point. I'll let you know. I don't know exactly where it's going to be at. We have one of the venues that we do stuff here in Nashville. I want to do this night. Nikki T's, because Nikki T's from Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
And he had kind of pitched me. He's like, Brill, you got to host this night, and we got to call it Northern Aggression.
That's incredible.
And it's got to be all the guys and girls from the Northeast.
Yeah.
You got to get David J. You got to get Big Rob Snyder. You got to get the boys from Lakeview. Yep. You got to get Aiden Canfield. You got to get, like, even the girls, like Morgan, like Morgan Johnston, Lauren Weintraub, Taylor Acorn, like...
Yep.
Get the Northeast in the house.
That'd
get the Kyle Starrocks, the Matt Roys, like, and just make it a night. Everybody just wears fucking Tim's and
that'd
flat bill hats.
Dude, I'm in for that.
That would be so
Whatever
much
you need
fun.
For it,
I will definitely let you know, and we'll make sure we'll have that on the calendar. So this record being out now, Commitment Issues, what do you want people to take from it? What's, like, your message? What's your message to the people for this?
Just listen to it. That's all you gotta do. Just fucking hit play and enjoy it. Even if you don't like it, just hit play. You know, give it a chance. But no, these are some of my favorite songs I've ever written in a long time. Like, I feel like there's a song for everybody on it. There's country songs that steals and fiddles and all that. But then there's, like, songs that you could go play in, like, a club, or, like, there's pop songs that they're just. I feel like there's a song for everybody on it. So I just really hope everybody can connect and just see the vision where I see, like, my music going. And I think it's a great, like, representation of me.
What's something you would tell 16-year-old you who just posted his first TikTok video? 16-year-old David J, the world shuts down. You're this high school kid. You're like, music's kind of cool. I've always enjoyed listening to this, listening to that. And you put up your first kind of video thing. And where you're at now, what would you tell that little chubby kid?
I'd be like, man, just keep doing it, and just don't listen to anybody, and don't let people get in your head. I feel like that's been a big thing. Like, up in New York, you don't have anybody saying, oh, this is cool. That, like, industry people, like, all I had was my parents and my friends, and that's the people that are gonna be the consumers of it. So if you feel like something's it and somebody tells you, man, I just don't know, like, marketability, commercial, whatever, just don't care. Always trust your gut, because I feel like those have been the best moments for me in my career. And just never listen to people. Always just keep your head down. Work hard. Be nice. I have a sign over my bed. It says, work hard, be nice to people. I've had it since the day I moved to Nashville, and it sits right above my bed. It's a little crooked, but it's there. I hung it myself, and I always have lived by that because Mitchell Tenpenny told me that when I opened up for him when I was 15 in New York, the first time I ever met him. That was his only piece of advice, is work hard, be nice to people. So I bought that. I saw that sign. I bought it the day I moved to Nashville, and I always just live by that, and I think a lot more people should.
Hell yeah, dude. Well, man, I'm very excited for people to get to hear and watch this episode, because you're always a guy. You're a guy that I've wanted to sit down and do something like
dude,
this.
Dude, I've been waiting, dude.
Because you being you and being unapologetically yourself and a New York guy is something that I relate to, man. So the record's out now, Commitment Issues, and then the tour. Do we have a name for the tour? Or is
commitment
it just
going issues on tour?
Okay. Yep. All right. Commitment Issues tour kicking off April 4th in fucking Foxborough.
What a time. What a day to start.
Foxborough, Mass. The family. Get out. And I want to make sure people get out there to see your dad, too, to see TMD.
Oh, you'll see.
TMD at the merch table?
He's all over. He'll be merch table. He's fucking driving. He's there. He doesn't need anything.
Hell yeah, dude.
If they ever want meet and greets, my dad doesn't know how to say no to anybody. So the trick is, like, just go ask my dad for whatever you want. Like, we're so fucking chill. He'll get you whatever you need. If he's like, oh, give me a t-shirt, he'll be like, oh, sure, here you go.
Yeah, I'm excited. We're definitely gonna have to get out to one of these shows that you got, or anything you got going on over the summer. But obviously people can follow you on all your platforms, all your social media. What dating app do you like best? One last question.
Oh, fuck.
What dating app do you like best? I never had any success on them.
Really?
I never did. No, I never did. And I was in like the era, like, I was in college when Tinder and Bumble and that came out.
I mean, I don't use dating apps, but Raya.
I don't even know what that is. See, I don't even know what
Raya,
that is.
I do have.
Is that like the famous people one?
It's like you have to get like accepted, do it, like referrals, like what people will do for these referrals,
is this like the Soho House of dating apps?
It's the Soho House of dating apps, and it's every person in Nashville that you would never want to get married to, but they're all on there, and I'd still give them a like. But yeah, the people, what they will do for these referrals, like, I've had money offered to me from people, like, I'll do anything, just accept my referral. I'm like, guys, it's not that good. But like, it's pretty lit though.
Yeah, but all you gotta do, like you said, is just
go talk to people.
It's work hard and be nice to people.
That's it. The same work thing hard, with, be nice. Throw a class DCA or slide, and you'll have some opportunities.
Yeah, or you see somebody at the bar, just go over and spark a conversation.
Maybe,
don't
if
be
you're
an
that
idiot.
Guy.
Yeah. Oh, you're not that guy?
I get really nervous to talk to girls in person, so it might take me a little bit. I'm terrible in person. I got no game in person.
What do you say?
I get so scared, dude. I'm like, I mean,
even if they're coming up to you, you get scared.
Yes. I'm like I said, I'm a quiet. I never really had girlfriends in high school. I wasn't the cool kid that had the hot girls in school. Like, I'm still the weird little fucking kid sometimes that somehow got here. So I get nervous for shit like that,
man. Yeah. Well, Raya, we'll have to. Well,
but Raya's
Raya's the one. Okay, all right. That's good. That's good to know. But dude, Commitment Issues out now. The tour coming. Super fucking excited for you. Thank you for waving the flag of New York and country music coming out of New York. And it's so cool to see what you're doing. You've got a great team around you. You've got some people that really believe in you and are in your corner. And dude, you're just getting started. I can't wait to see where the rocket goes. It's gonna go to the moon, and then it's gonna go past the fucking moon.
So,
and get into the next fucking universe, man. So super fucking grateful for having
you
on, buddy.
Thank you
so much. Here's a hat for you too.
Shit,
we put it
out.
It's a flat bill. It's that style.
We
got some shirts and shit for you over there too. One of them's like a Sopranos style shirt.
Dude,
it's our outside the round logo, but it's got like the gun, like Sopranos. So we got all that for you. Well, thank you guys for watching another episode of Outside the Round. Be sure to check out our boy David J. Commitment Issues is out now. And I know I got a lot of homies in the Northeast. You're not gonna want to miss one of these shows. Get on his website right now, davidj-music.com, and check out the Commitment Issues tour. It's going to be awesome. Be sure to say hey to our boy TMD as well. Shout out Big Dave.
Big D.
Like I said, follow our boy David J if you're not already, and be sure to rate, subscribe, tell your mama and them about this podcast. For my boy David J, I'm Matt Brill. This has been Outside the Round.
Peace.
So if you know me, if you really know me, you know I'm just a two-trick pony. Maybe the drink and the lack of money.